For political junkies, the past 6 weeks have been really tough. The last presidential contest was in Mississippi on March 11th, and the next one isn't until April 22nd. It kind of reminds me when you're a kid on December 26th and you've eaten all your chocolate Santas, and you know there's nothing really coming your way until maybe Valentine's Day. But you can just taste the treat around the corner, Pennsylvania, less than a week off. And the candidates are doing a great job of tempting your cravings for political pushing match in Pennsylvania. Remarks by Barack Obama about the state's working class being bitter of top speeches by his rivals, Senator Clinton and McCain. Here's an ad running in Pennsylvania from the Clinton camp.
Barack Obama said that people in small towns cling to guns or religion as a way to explain their frustrations.
I was very insulted by Barack Obama.
It just shows how out of touch Barack Obama is.
I'm not clinging to my...
And Obama's campaign swatted back with this spot.
I know that many of you, like me, were disappointed by recent remarks that he made.
There's a reason people are rejecting Hillary Clinton's attacks, because the same old Washington politics won't lower the price of gas or help our struggling economy. Barack Obama.
Will this appeal to voters in PA? Our continuing series of looking at voters in key primary states, we're going to turn to Dave Davies. He's a senior writer for the Philadelphia Daily News. Hi, Dave.
Good morning.
Good morning. So Pennsylvania has about 12.5 million people, and it spans from the eastern seaboard into well into the Midwest. So you can't really describe it as homogeneous in any way. Can you give us a quick snapshot of who the four different groups of Pennsylvania voters are?
Yeah, sure. We'll start with African Americans that are, you know, most numerous in Philadelphia, but are in other cities, and they're clearly and overwhelmingly for Obama, and everybody expects them to turn out in big numbers and give him his biggest base of support. Then you have young voters, your listeners, Allison, folks that are in Philadelphia and in other downtown areas, and it's clear that a lot more of them have been registered and energized in this election. When you look at the numbers, particularly college campuses, a lot of new voters, and nobody's quite sure how big a boost that's going to be, because they're not so easy to poll. They carry cell phones rather than the landlines that pollsters tend to call, but that's going to help Obama. And then we go to the people out in the rural areas and in towns and cities like York and Easton and Bethlehem and Johnstown. And these are areas where 40 years ago there were coal mines and steel plants and manufacturing and good union jobs, and they've been on hard times for a long time now. And this has been historically Hillary Clinton country. They feel good about the 90s and what the Clintons did there. And there tend to be union people, so this has been a big base of support for Hillary Clinton. But the polls show that before this recent gaffe that you referred to earlier, that Barack Obama was making some headway in. And then finally, there's the suburbs, particularly the Philadelphia suburbs. These are very, very vote-rich counties that are really, really divided. I mean, they used to be really Republican. Now they're much more moderate and Democrat. And I think a lot of the undecideds in the states are there, and you'll see competing, you know, arguments at grocery stores and Whole Foods and lawn signs. And it's interesting to see that when Barack Obama has been to the Philadelphia area, every public appearance has been in the suburbs.
Well, you brought up that gaffe, which has basically kept Wolf Blitzer and Chris Matthews in business for the past week. But I'm curious if it's getting any traction locally.
Yeah, and there's no doubt it's a big story here, as it is everywhere. And I think the fact that the ads that you played earlier are now running in Pennsylvania tells you that both campaigns' overnight polling tells them that this is an issue that matters. So it's clearly something that has affected people's perceptions. And when you put it kind of in the national context, you've got a big debate tonight, and the clock is running out on Hillary Clinton. And she's a scrappy fighter and brings a lot to the game, but there just aren't that many opportunities yet for her to make the kind of move she's going to need to make to make a credible case for the nomination. So I think her folks have just decided this is our shot. We're going to show this guy is this effete Hyde Park, faculty club elitist who looks down on working people, doesn't understand the country, and will be eaten alive by the Republicans if we let him get in. And
so two of those four groups you talked about would write him off.
Right, right. And so they put a dent in him. And tonight at this big debate in Philadelphia, all the superdelegates and the country will be watching, so they'll take it national. So it should be an interesting showdown.
When the candidates were in Ohio, we just heard NAFTA, NAFTA, NAFTA. And when they were campaigning in Texas, it was immigration, immigration, and immigration. So in Pennsylvania, what is the issue candidates have been drilling?
You know, they've been mostly talking about economics. I mean, the lunch bucket issues. I mean, Hillary was always doing that, and then it's clear that Obama started doing it. In fact, it was funny. I mean, I've covered him at several appearances where he gives sort of gives a Hillary Clinton speech, but frankly does it better than she does just because he's so good at public speaking. But that's sort of been what they've been hammering on. But I have to say that it's – I think most people – I mean, because these candidates are so close on so many of the issues like expanding health care and repealing the Bush tax cuts, I think people really look at them and look at their leadership, individual leadership characteristics, you know. Yeah. Hillary is sort of this wise, competent leader who reminds them of prosperity and balanced budgets in the 90s, and Barack is this embodiment of new politics that, you know, gets beyond cynicism and partisanship in Washington.
Let's talk about some of the endorsements coming out of your state. Pennsylvania Senator Bob Casey said he was going to stay neutral, then made a surprise endorsement of Barack Obama. Governor Ed Rendell out there working for Hillary Clinton. Of course, he's close friends with the Clintons. Did either of these endorsements carry more weight than the other?
You know, it's interesting. I mean, nobody is a better or more energetic or more partisan campaigner than Ed Rendell. I mean, I wonder if he has any time to run the state these days. He's out there so much on Hillary's behalf. And he's very, very popular in the Philadelphia media market, which is a lot where a lot of Democrats live. Casey, on the other hand, is sort of a more important strategic move because he is of those areas where Hillary is strong. I mean, the Reagan Democrats, the lunch bucket Democrats, the people who are union members and Catholics. And his saying, I'm for this guy, probably, you know, makes people take a second look. I don't think any endorsement counts that much, but I'd say Casey's is sort of a bigger move in that case. There's one other little interesting piece of insider stuff here.
Real quick.
Casey's father was a governor here in the early 90s and was snubbed at the 1992 nominating convention of Bill Clinton. And the Casey's have remembered that for years. And so a lot of folks see some payback in Casey backing Obama here.
Like the end trivia there. Dave Davies, senior writer for the Philadelphia Daily News. Hey, thanks for sharing your reporting, Dave.
Glad to be with you.
Stay with us next on the BPP, a talk with writer Richard Price about his new book, Lush Life. It's coming up next on the BPP from NPR News.